Thanks, Mike. Follow up on Jeff's talk and talk about another project that has been going on in the Mid-South. So this is, I'm just reporting the data compiled by people in all of these states and throughout the Mid-South. I need to spend too much time on this. I don't think I've got a good enough fill of plant bug injury yesterday. But basically, we're looking at square damage. If they attack young squares, if they're attacking older squares, you get the dirty squares that Jeff referred to, which once it blooms, you get the dirty blooms, the damaged anthers on the blooms. Or if it hits young squares, young bulls, you get the external lesions and the internal lesions, very similar to the stink bugs that we heard about earlier this morning. This is a similar graph to the one Jeff just showed, but this is for the entire Mid-South. So the problem is of increased applications is not restricted to Mississippi, but this is compiled from all five states in the Mid-South. And you can see that after the year 2000, the red line is the number of applications we've been applying. And you know, before 2001, we were never much above 1.5 applications on average. Since then, we've never been below that. So we've definitely had a shift in what's been going on here since the year 2000. Because of the increased importance and the increased number of applications we're putting on for plant bugs, several years ago, the Mid-South entomologists decided to start looking at the thresholds. Thresholds that we've been using were developed mainly in the 70s, and when we were spraying a lot for boll weevils and boll worms, and it wasn't near as much attention put on plant bugs. And we decided to look at it in two aspects, during the squaring period, or pre-bloom as I've put it here, and during the bloom period. I'm going to report on the pre-bloom, or the squaring period, work this morning. In this trial, we had four treatments. We had an automatic weekly application, which when we started this trial, we figured was sort of the nuke them and keep them out kind of option. As it turned out, that wasn't the case. But that was our automatic, and then we had two thresholds. A low threshold, which is basically our current threshold in most of the states, which is based on it's a combination of both of plant bugs or square retention, whichever one triggers. And then a high plant bug, which was twice the number of plant bugs, 16 plant bugs per 100 sweeps, or square retention below 60%, and then an untreated control. Over the course of 2006 through 2008, this was done on 33 locations over this five-state area. Individual plots, 24 rows wide, minimum 100 feet long, and they were replicated four times at each location. We have 33 locations. I'm going to show you individual data for three of them that did have significant data, real results. Most locations did not have a significant yield impact individually, but then I will show you the pooled data. This is, I guess, what I would have expected to see going into the trial. Weekly spray have very high yield. The threshold have a very comparable yield, but of course fewer insecticide applications, and then a reduced yield for the untreated. That's what I would have expected going into the trial, and that happened in this particular location. However, we had one instance where we had extremely high pressure, 2007, which was the year Jeff was pulling some of his data from, when we had extremely high data. This was in the Mississippi Delta. And in this case, Angus Catchott, who conducted this trial, deviated from our protocol a little bit because he realized that the weekly isn't getting it done. The very bottom, which I don't know if you can read those numbers very well from where you're at, but these are the sweep net counts that he was getting each week. So for the weekly application, so he was at 36 per 100. Remember, our threshold is 8, so we're at a 4x threshold here. Week 2, after he had sprayed it the week before, it was a 37, so he just maintained it. Week three, it actually went up. So that was after two applications to 50. And then because he wasn't getting it done, he actually came in on the threshold application at 3 or 4 days after the week three application, applied it again. And that's what happened there. So in that particular case where we had extremely high pressure, he sprayed the threshold treatment one more time than he had sprayed the weekly, and you can see it did benefit him in yield by looks like about 400 pounds there. And of course the untreated was worse yet. On that same data, here's the square retention data. So remember, our square retention data, we're shooting to keep it above 80, and you can see that we don't have any week of any treatment that even approached 80. But you can see that last spray on the beige bar, between the weekly and the threshold, he was able to improve square retention there by 15% or so, and that would be where he got his yield increase. So extremely high pressure, that weekly spray isn't even adequate. Here's another site from Tennessee this past year, set up a little bit differently, showing square retention. And in this particular case, we had high pressure there around July 1st, and it triggered an application in the automatic, of course, and the low and the high thresholds. None of the other weeks triggered a spray except in the automatic. Scott went out about the second week of bloom. If you see on the right-hand side there, the 28th of July, and he looked at what is my square retention over the first 10 nodes. Now, when we were doing the normal square retention, we were looking at, I believe it was the third node down, square retention on that particular node. So we were getting a new cohort every week, but he looked at overall square retention during that squaring period, and that's mapped there. You can see the untreated, we were only at about 55% retention overall, whereas the automatic was up over 90%, the two thresholds being there between 75 and 80. When he got to the end of the year, we put in yield, and I've added that column to the right. The yield fit perfectly with where our square retention, our average square retention over the squaring period was. So the yield of the automatic was 1,691 pounds as compared to the untreated being 1287. So it looks like maybe average square retention is during that squaring period is a very good indicator of what your yield potentials or your yield is going to be. Okay, those are the only three sites I'm going to show you. Looking over the data, as I said, most of it wasn't significant. When I looked at it overall, there was nothing, and that didn't surprise me from looking at the data, because a lot of the sites we didn't have very much pressure. So I broke out those locations. I said, okay, if we never reached the low threshold at any time in the squaring period, what does our data look like? So that accounts for 13 of those 33 locations were in that status, and that's shown here, the 3 years, and you can see a very similar trend in each year. In no years was that data significant, and even the average isn't significant. Now, in this analysis, I used each site as a single replicate, and that's the way I analyzed this data. So I used the average data for each site as a replicate. So a consistent trend where the untreated actually yields a little bit more than the weekly treated. So definitely you can say after this, there's no logic to throwing in that pyrethroid or whatever insecticide with your Roundup in the absence of plant bugs. You're not getting any little boost in control, and that was the reason I looked at this originally. There's no little bit of benefit out of adding insecticide, and there may be an actual little cost to it in yield. Next, I looked at, okay, where we had some low pressure, we reached that low threshold, we'd never reached the high threshold, so we have sort of a moderate kind of pressure there. And again, no significant results. And if you look numerically, there's not even anything. If you look 2006, the highest yielding was the weekly spray. 2007, it was the threshold. 2008, it was the untreated. So there's no even trend to even look at here. So here's where you would hope that you would see differences. Unfortunately, we don't have as many locations. These are just those sites which reached the high threshold at least once during the squaring period. 2006, we didn't have any sites that reached that high threshold, and only two sites in 07. And again, no statistically significant differences, but you can see that the untreated doesn't look quite as strong as some of the other treatments. One of the problems with this data and is that we could not, because of probably a part of is the resistance that Jeff talked about in the last talk, our weekly sprays weren't able to really get us back to that if we weren't infested. So we didn't have, in this high threshold environment, we didn't have a zero standard that we were comparing it to. So we were only at a narrow window on the pressure, average pressure, or average square retention kind of line. So what I decided to look, I said I needed to have some way I can put all of this data in one figure, one calculation. So what I did is I said, okay, let's look at average density over the squaring period. So I took the 3 to 4 weeks of data that I had for each of the locations, said what was the average plant bug density in that field over the 4 weeks of squaring. And I didn't put all the dots on this. I put the trend line there, and it is very, very highly significant. So if you recall, the low threshold, we saw a little yield increase if we didn't spray. Well, that's because the average data were going from 0 to 5 plant bugs. The medium moderate damage, we saw no trends whatsoever. Well, that's that flat part of the curve there between 5 and 10, that's what we were dealing with, that part of the window. And then the high threshold, which looked like did need a spray, that is that far right end where you are taking loss. So when you put it all together, you end up with a very highly significant yield response. And again, you see actually quite a bit of a yield boost by having some plant bugs there. But of course, a yield cost if you have too many. Did the same thing with square retention or aborted squares, as I put it here. And you see a very similar shape. Again, highly significant relationship with maximum yield around 10% aborted squares or 90% square retention. So I put that with the costs of control, and costs of control are fairly flat. We're only talking about 3 weeks, and I used data from our high threshold. So the high threshold was always sprayed at least once, and the zero threshold or the weekly was sprayed every week. So it's a relatively flat line. So you're not going to save a lot of money by raising your threshold during that pre-bloom period. So, and the yield response is pretty dramatic. So basically this, our optimum cost relationship is where you have the highest yield. And it comes out to be at 8 plant bugs per 100 sweeps, which is exactly where our current threshold is. So it validated our current threshold. Doing the same thing with square retention, it's at 90% square retention. So this is average. This is not the thresholds. Obviously, if your first couple weeks of squaring you have no pressure, you can absorb a little more pressure late in that squaring period without taking a yield loss. So this is not specifically a threshold data. And I think, so our thresholds can probably be a little bit relaxed from where these are. My conclusion is, are these. When you hit those high numbers, you know, when we hit that high threshold, frequently we had significant yield losses, but it was inconsistent. Our losses are minimized where you are at 8 plant bugs per 100 sweeps or 90% square retention. So my conclusion is that our existing thresholds are very close. Another thing I wanted to point out is when you're at that bottom of close to that optimum, it's fairly flat. So if you're a little bit below or a little bit above that, it's not going to make a big difference. The other thing I should have pointed out is if you look at this graph, the net cost at 8 plant bugs per 100 sweep is actually below zero. So you can actually look at plant bugs as a beneficial. How's that for something ironic? At the right density, it is actually a beneficial insect. Of course, maintaining it right at that perfect spot is basically impossible. But there is a beneficial of getting, and I think it's overcompensation by the plant when given moderate pressure. I don't have time to go through this, and I didn't figure I would. It was just in here in case I did. So with that, I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated for funding this over the years and all of these universities that have been involved and the growers that allowed us to do this research on their farms.
Okay, do we have any quick questions for Fred? Okay, thanks, Fred.